Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Steve.
We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve the common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the meeting, the sharing off, Dennis, do you want to share?
Thanks very much, Steve. Yes, my name is Dennis. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Dennis.
I'm a Kiwi, but I got sober overseas. I was brought up in Pakuranga and went to just regular, did regular New Zealand things as a kid, but for some reason I just did not feel I belonged in this place. And as soon as I could, I moved over to Australia, and my drinking absolutely escalated out of control once I moved overseas and away from family. And I did a further geographical. At that stage, I was a bit worried about my drinking, so I thought if I go further afield and restart, I might be able to get this drinking thing under control. So I went to Hong Kong, which was a very bad idea because the drinking was even more excessive there. It was an absolute license to behave badly every day, all the time. I'd managed to go through study. I'd managed to hold together a career. I guess on the outside, possibly I looked successful, but on the inside I was increasingly miserable and dark and unhappy. It didn't develop in just a few years. It kind of escalated over 5, 10, 15 years until the point that, as I say, even though on the outside, I think I was married by that stage, even on the outside I looked prosperous, on the inside I was completely empty. And it got to the point one day that I was ready to commit suicide. And I was very close to actually committing suicide, where I just paused for a second, and there was this very clear voice in my head which said, "Dennis, your only problem is your drinking. Go and get some help." And it was not my voice in my head that day, but I did. I went and got some help. I spoke to my GP, who referred me to a drug and alcohol counsellor. And after talking with that lady for a little while, she said, "I think you need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous." And I said, "I don't think I'm that bad." And she said, "Well, just go along, give it a try. Don't have to decide yet. Just go along and give it a try." So I went to my first meeting in Hong Kong. I found out there's a very strong, solid fellowship in Hong Kong. And the first thing that was strange is I managed to put together a week without drinking, and that was very unusual for me. I was a daily drinker, and so to go for a week without drinking was astonishing. So I thought, well, there must be something to this Alcoholics Anonymous stuff. I have to say the first week was pretty awful, but I would I tended to drink at about 5 o'clock each day. So if I wasn't drinking by lunch, I was drinking by five. And so I would go to an evening meeting instead of having that drink. And that would give me enough to get me through to the next day. And I'd struggle through to the meeting in those first few weeks. And I'd go to the meeting and I'd stay sober another day. And then astonishingly, a month had gone past and I hadn't had a drink. And that hadn't happened to me since I was a teenager, since I was still living at home. So I had to acknowledge there was something going on with this Alcoholics Anonymous and the people around it and the way that they were thinking about not drinking that kept me coming back. And that's what people said to me when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous: keep coming back. I was hoping it was going to be a quick fix, that if I just hung around Alcoholics Anonymous for, you know, a couple of months, I'd be able to figure out what my problem was and get my drinking under control. But the alcoholics in Hong Kong were pretty clear. They said, if you're an alcoholic, you can't ever safely drink, Dennis. The first drink that you put in your body is the one that gets you drunk. And that didn't seem to make an awful lot of sense to me, because I thought it was perhaps the third, the fifth, maybe the seventh. But when I thought about it, of course, that was the case. As soon as I put alcohol in my body, it just set off this craving in my head. I just needed to have another drink. And so this principle of not taking the first drink has become absolutely critical. If I don't take that first drink, things are possible. If I take a drink, all bets are off. The other thing they told me in my early days was one day at a time. I always thought you had to kind of plan ahead weeks, months, years in the future. And people said, well, why don't you just focus on one day at a time? Just stay sober for one day and then figure out tomorrow what's going to go on then. And that's proved to be a very useful way for me of living my life even. But certainly one day at a time was an appropriate length of time when I was stopping drinking initially. Some days it was 1 hour at a time. I'm just not going to have a drink for the first hour, for the next hour. And then once I got to the end of that hour, then I'd remake the decision. No, I'm going to try for one more hour. And that's what got me through. And even since then, there's been a few hard days, and it's been day at a time. These days, however, I've been an Alcoholics Anonymous now for 23 years. I haven't had a drink since I went to my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And I don't have that sense of craving, of obsession to drink like I used to have. But I haven't lost the idea that I'm an alcoholic, that there's something physically, mentally, possibly even spiritually different about me and the way I drink, which means I can't safely drink. So I understand now that I'm an alcoholic, and that means that I cannot ever have that drink, that first drink, safely. So I'm a pretty regular attendee at Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. I don't take my sobriety for granted. It's something I work at. And the thing about Alcoholics Anonymous for me is we call it a fellowship, and it's people who are just like me who have the same problem with their drinking. And for me, talking with another alcoholic just seems to make everything seem right. I can talk to other people, but they just don't understand what it's like when you're an alcoholic and you just cannot think of anything else but getting that drink in, and the taste of that first drink, and it goes down your throat and everything feels right with the world. And that's something that only makes sense to another alcoholic. And there's something when we talk to one another that something about the way we talk to one another that just makes sense. And I can be all confused and having a bad day, and I'll come and have a chat to another alcoholic, and they'll somehow be able to see through all of the superficial peripheral stuff and say, oh, Dennis, sounds like you're a bit resentful about something, or, oh, Dennis, it sounds like you're a bit scared about something. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that? It's something that other people just don't quite get. And I would hope that me, talking to other alcoholics, I can also provide the same kind of support. I'm now a sponsor, so I work with other alcoholics and help them in their sobriety, just as other people helped me in my early days of sobriety. And that's also the way Alcoholics Anonymous works, one alcoholic helping another. So the whole enveloping fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is kind of like a baseline for me in my sobriety. And as I say, it's one day at a time, and I keep coming back. I learned those original messages, and I now live a very happy, comfortable life. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Dennis. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. This morning we have members of our fellowship in, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. To continue on with the sharing, John, do you want to share?
Yes, thank you. My name's John. I'm an alcoholic.
Okay. Hi, John.
Where to start? Okay, I've been in the fellowship now for some 20 years. Excuse me. I still love drinking. I'm allergic to alcohol. And I discovered that early on, I think, but I didn't actually realise it, that some people in this world are just simply born allergic to alcohol. In the same way, I guess, that some people are allergic to penicillin or other medications that they can't have because they have adverse reactions or whatever. Okay, my wife can drink. She puts a cork in the bottle, no problem. I drink. I can't stop drinking. I can't think of any good reasons why anybody would want to stop drinking. So I drank when I was younger, went to parties, did all that sort of stuff like everybody does, and everything just, you can do it when you're younger, I think, you just sort of trundle along and it all sort of worked in a funny sort of way. But and then one day I went out on a Christmas function, got drunk, as I did every time I went to anywhere there was alcohol, got off this boat, and my wife tells me I tripped and cut my ankle. And that was enough of a trigger for me to stop and think, okay, I just can't do this anymore. And I hope there are people out there who have the same thought. I can't do this anymore. And for those people like us here, we found a solution. There is a solution. I believe myself that alcohol is an incurable disease, and I read somewhere the World Health Organization agrees with that. It's an incurable disease. But you can arrest it on a daily basis. So our program is a very simple program for what I believe are very complicated people. We think differently, I guess, than other people out there. Or at least I'll talk about me. I think differently than other people out there. I overthink things. I overcomplicate things sometimes. Whereas, in fact, what AA suggests to me is just do the things that are in front of you. Keep it really simple. Have a process. I'd never had any sort of processes until I came into this program. We have 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, where we acknowledge, first of all, powerlessness over alcohol. When I drink, all bets are off. That's it. I can't give you any guarantee as to what happens next. The irony of it is that I think I can, but actually I can't give you any guarantee of what the outcome will be. And so I admit, okay, I put alcohol in front of me, I'm powerless over the stuff. And I have to therefore acknowledge that something greater than me, whether you call it conscience, good orderly direction, whatever, is something I can go back and lean on while I try and figure out what to do next, so that I can stay sober one day at a time. And I think that's the other thing about this program. It's the beauty of the program. It's one day at a time. Just for today, I wake up in the morning, oh, thank God, another day without drinking. I go through the day thinking, okay, what's the next right thing I should do according to what I learn in the program. I finish the day by looking back and thinking, oh, that worked. I didn't drink today. Yippee. And I do that every day, and I've done that every day for 20 years. 20 years sounds an awful long time, and I guess 20 years is a long time, but not when you break it down into daily chunks. And I think that's the key to this program is I can remember all the alcohol I ever drank. I can remember the times that I got into crises and dramas because of drinking, and thank God I never got caught drink driving, but only just. So I think I just have to remind myself of where I could go if I drink. Because, as I said when I started, unlike other people, I believe I'm allergic to alcohol. So if I put alcohol in me, watch out. First of all, I can't think of any good reason why, if I had one drink, why I shouldn't have a second drink and a third drink. And then I stop counting. Before I know it, I'll flatten my back drunk as a skunk. And that all sounds a little bit sort of dramatic, I suppose, but the reality is that that's how we alcoholics are. I believe the world's divided into two groups. One's alcoholic, one's group's not. The ones who are not alcoholic, like my partner, they don't have to worry about drinking because they just work differently, I guess. They can put the cork in the bottle, as we say. Whereas those of us who are alcoholic, that's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard, to put a cork in the bottle. Why would you stop drinking when it's sitting in front of you? So I need wants and needs. I need to have a program like Alcoholics Anonymous so that I've got some direction in my life, so that I can say, okay, we've got a book called The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is kind of our guide, I guess. And I read that a lot when you go to an AA meeting, for instance. Just for the record, AA meetings last for about an hour. We are lucky in Auckland. There are meetings everywhere. every day of the year, Christmas Day included. And if you think you might have a problem with alcohol, with drinking, ring AA, get a meetings list, turn up at a meeting and just listen. And that's what I did. My first year, really, I just sat there and listened. I thought, okay, this makes sense. This feels like it's going to give me relief from this thing that I can't keep at bay. And it did, and it worked for me. I wouldn't say my life transformed, didn't win lotto overnight or anything. It's not like that. It just meant that I could go back to like how I was before I started drinking. I could think clearly. I could be methodical. I could work through the day. I could be happy. Alcohol's a depressant. So when I drank, it just brought out all the depressive stuff and the nasty negative stuff. Not good. So first off, one of the first things that happened, I guess, was I had a refreshing outlook on life that meant that I could see the wood for the trees. And it stayed like that for 20 years. In the early times, I remember thinking, wow, this is magic. This is going to be really, really good. No, bad things still happen to good people. 2 years into my sobriety, I got very, very sick, life-threateningly sick. I just about died. And I remember thinking, how could this be? How could a power greater than myself let this happen to me? And that's faulty thinking again, because life still happens. Volcanoes still erupt, airplanes fall out of the sky, all sorts of stuff goes on. My reaction to them, it changes. My reaction is the only thing I can actually manage. How I react to crises, situations, dramas, people saying this, that and the other, birthday parties, blah, blah, blah. That's where I can do something. But that's what AA has shown me, how to actually manage my life on a daily basis. By starting by keeping it simple. Going to meetings on a regular basis, hearing other people's experience, strength and hope. Remember those words, experience, strength and hope. Sharing my experience, my strength and my hopes for how it'll be. And coming out of a meeting feeling more at peace with myself and with a better understanding of what's going on. And at this point, it's probably a good idea to say that AA is not a religion. A lot of people, when they come into meetings, they see that word God on the wall in our steps. I think, oh, no, I've joined a church or something like that. Now, that's fine for people who like to join churches. I mean, we have people, we have ministers, we have all sorts of people come to meetings, men, women, young people, whatever. Alcohol is no respecter of age or gender or anything like that. But it's a spiritual program which I found easier because of my background to accept. It didn't require that I believe in Jesus Christ or Buddha or anyone else. It just said, okay, something greater than you is something you can lean on. And a lot of people for the first couple of years think of some rock star or a lamppost or whatever that they can call a higher power that they can actually turn to in their time of need. No one is born to be alone, me included, and I needed to have something that I could sort of turn to and say, okay, higher power, what do I do next? Show me the next right thing. So, again, this is my experience of the program. There are meetings everywhere throughout the world, and I think if anybody is interested in not waking up with a hangover, feeling absolutely like junk, or thinking, oh my God, I did it again. I went to that party last night. It all happened again. Make a call. Go to a meeting. Someone from the fellowship will come out if necessary and support you while you're going through that process. So I wish anybody out there who is listening to this the best of, not luck, it's nothing to do with luck, good intentions to stay clean and sober for another 24 hours. Thank you.
Thanks, John. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person to share is Matt. Do you want to share?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Steve. My name's Matt. I'm a very grateful recovering alcoholic and addict.
Hi, Matt.
So for me, my journey has been a long time. I'm past middle age, just. And I realise now that there was a lot of things I didn't know and you don't know what you don't know. So I'll start at the beginning. In my childhood, I came from a semi-comfortable family in a good area, and life seemed fine for me. It seemed great. I was a happy child. And then sort of at around the age of five or so, I was needing more attachment, more attention, and unfortunately my family life didn't work like that. My father was a workaholic, and my mother became an alcoholic. And, you know, I lost that attachment to the two people that were my gods at that time, and I didn't realise this at the time, but I started to disconnect from myself. I started to take on anything they said and believe it was exactly how the world is and how I should be in the world. And some of their actions didn't suit their intentions, and I'm sure their intentions were good, and that made me feel uncomfortable. And I had this sort of self-disconnect from myself, and I didn't feel like I fitted anywhere. So then when I got to my teens, you know, I didn't fit within inside myself, and I didn't feel like I fitted with others. I really didn't know how to have relationships. I couldn't have relationships properly with other people because I didn't have a relationship with myself. So I self-medicated. I drank, I took drugs, and that was my way of having that reprieve from the uncomfortableness that was inside me. And this went on for many years throughout my teens, and at times I, you know, adopted a proactive lifestyle and got stuck into work and did very well in my work. But that was my other coping mechanism for that hollowness inside. And then at other times I would adopt a darker entity and I would swim in a world of alcohol and drugs. And this went on right through with short relationships, 3 or 4 years were my close relationships. I had a handful of friends that I'm very grateful to say I've still got now. But any other relationships just fell by the wayside. The difficulty for me was that I really didn't know that I was that broken. It was just the New Zealand way of life. You know, we drank after rugby, we did this, we did that, we partied after work events and so on. And I just didn't do very well at it. I ended up sitting in the corner, alone, drunk, swimming in my thoughts of depression and why don't I fit. And this went on for a long time. Then finally, of course, the usual things happened. I got in trouble with the police, and I ended up in an institution, being jail. After 14 months in jail, and writing letters to a recovery treatment centre every 2 weeks, feeling completely broken. I'd abandoned my 3-year-old son. I had guilt from that. That was just completely consuming me. I'd let my wife down. I was at my rock bottom. And they say your rock bottom's only when you stop digging. I couldn't dig out of jail. I was at my rock bottom, completely there. And all I could do with my spare time was try and better myself. And I was very fortunate enough to have some books given to me that started my process. And they were great books, books about understanding yourself and understanding life. But then I got the great benefit of something that changed my life. I went to a recovery treatment centre and did treatment. And I was there for 8 months. The most impactful things that happened to me there was for myself, I learnt that instant gratification was just me being selfish and needing my needs met, which really, that's not how life works. But later in the treatment, empathy was the thing that basically freed me from not feeling connection. See, with empathy, when someone's reacting to you in a certain way and you don't feel comfortable with it, or, you know, you're put off, rather than putting up that wall and retaliating, I'd go, well, why are they acting this way? What's happened to them? And in an instant in doing that, the empathy that I felt meant that I didn't have to deal with my initial reaction, which was, this is horrible, the way they're talking to me or whatever's going on. And with that empathy came connection. I could ask them what's going on for them. And people did that for me as well. And that was a huge learning for me. And the courage of vulnerability that I learned there by saying when things weren't right, that sort of the vulnerability is a brave step to allowing the genesis of creativity. You can be supported. People actually know what's going on for you. And this became an interactive thing between my peers. And I learned a lot from this. But then coming towards the end of my treatment, I got the opportunity to go to AA and to NA. And I lapped this up because it was a chance to get out of the treatment centre I was in just for a few hours. So off I trotted to AA. I walked in the doors. I was so nervous. Who were these people? This is just a bizarre alien concept to me. However, I was told to sit down and listen. And of course, I wanted to be there because it was better than being back in the treatment centre with a lot of other people. And so that was my motivation. I sat down and I heard an old-timer talk, and he said, okay, for you new guys that are here, I know it's uncomfortable. All you have to do is at the end of every meeting, at the beginning of every meeting, just walk up to anyone, put your hand out, introduce yourself. And that's all I did for the first 3 months. And I met people that were actually interested in me. They weren't judging me. They didn't want anything from me. They were there to support me. And it was different from my previous life. I felt comfortable in this environment, and I heard the stories that others spoke, and I thought, well, that could have been me. That was me at that time. Oh my gosh, yeah, I can see myself now in that share. And this was quite freeing to know that other people had the same issues, and then I heard how they overcame their issues. And one of the things that Alcohol Anonymous has done for me is that I've heard stories where people have said, okay, so I tried to stop my drinking, and I went to a treatment center or a detox, and I went back to the family home, and I tried to be the best mum and the best wife to my husband, etc. And this went on, and I managed that for three years, but really I was just white-knuckling it. And then they've said it was like that for them because they didn't replace it with anything else that was proactive. And they left the fellowship once they thought they were, you know, a little bit treated. Now, I categorically know from my experience in my life that this fellowship is what keeps me sober, what keeps me away from drugs, because it's there I have the connection, and it's there I feel the support, and I have a purpose. I look after others in the fellowship. I put myself out there. I share regularly. I remember my first share, I was so nervous, I think I stopped after about half a minute. Now I can sit there comfortably and share as I am now, and that's a huge growth, and that growth has come through the fellowship. It's seeing that things are possible. I've got more self-awareness, but the most important thing that I've got back in my life is my family. And my family mean the world to me. And I can role model now properly to my family. My 5-year-old son is just a blessing. I get these unsolicited, I love you, Dad, you're beautiful. And it just melts my heart. It's the most beautiful blessing that could be bestowed on me, and that's because of the fellowship and because of treatment. So any of you who would like to have the ability to remain sober and clean, please join a fellowship. Don't wait. Do it now. You'll be welcomed with open arms and supported, and you'll find your way. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. If you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, as it's been said during the meeting, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists is a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area, where we have about 140, and it'll also show meetings right throughout the whole country. You can also phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area up and down the country. So we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting now with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.